Amen. Exodus chapter number 3. Let's begin reading at verse number 1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside. Everybody say, I will turn aside. And he said, I will see this great sight. Everybody say, and I will see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? He said, I will turn aside, and I will see this great sight. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Skip down to verse number 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. All generations. Praise God. And I'm going to preach for a while tonight about a generational God. Amen. A generational God. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit. Thank you, God, for your help. Lord Jesus, for your presence that we feel here tonight. I pray, God, that you would help us in this place. God, speak to us tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. Y'all don't be surprised when I come in one of these days and put my glasses on for a text. I know I could use bigger font, but then I'd feel like I got more pages. I have to sit here and blink for a while. Everything finally comes back into focus. Praise God. Lord, help us, Jesus. Amen. A generational God. A generational God. Amen. Let's just talk about our text here for a little while tonight to begin with. First of all, we know the story of Moses on the backside of a desert. We know the story of the burning bush, and we know that God is interrupting Moses' life. He's interrupting Moses' life. And so now here is a bush that will not burn, that is not being consumed. And so Moses says, I will now turn aside, and I will see this great sight. Amen. He's not going to send anybody else to go find out why it's not burning, why it's not consumed. This is something that he himself is going to see. He wants the experience, the knowledge, the ability to say, I saw a bush that did not burn. That's not hearsay. I went to check it out. I saw it. It would not be consumed. And so he had the experience of this. Now, as he grew close to this burning bush, we see that God calls out to him, calls him by name, Moses, Moses. The Bible teaches all of us that we are called by name, and there's no difference here in that God calls Moses by his name, Moses, Moses, Moses. God knows who you are, and God knows where you are. And you may feel like you're on the backside of a desert. God knows where you are. And you may feel like a stranger, but God knows who you are. Amen. When the sinner walks into this place, they don't surprise God. God knew where they were. And God knows who they are. And God knows how to call their name. And that's why that they can come to the house of God and they don't know anybody or know anything, or the preacher definitely doesn't know them, and all of a sudden the preacher starts preaching right to them. And they think to themselves, how does he know that? We had a young man come up to the tent when we were in Aransas Pass and was having the huge tent revival, lasted for over a year and a half. It wasn't designed that way. It's just because Hurricane Harvey made them do that. But there was this young man that came to the tent. And he stood across the street just listening because they could hear us a couple of miles away. And so he stood there by the tent just listening, and he thought to himself, now this is crazy. He said, because nobody knows I'm here. But yet whoever that is in there that's talking right now, they're talking straight to me. And he felt like he was on the backside of a desert somewhere and God was calling his name. And so it compelled him a few services later to come again. And this time he crossed over the street and came in on the backside of the tent and sat there, and he began to listen. He thought to himself, this is really crazy because nobody knows that I'm out here, but yet whoever's in there speaking is speaking straight to me. It's because God knew where he was and God knew his name. Amen. Praise God. Don't ever doubt God. Praise God. God knows where they are. God knows their name. And when they get in the presence of God, God's got a message for them. You know, when you get in the presence of God, God'll have a message for you. Amen. You can think to yourself, you know what? I wished I could just hear from God. Get in his presence. Amen. Get in his presence. Draw around the burning bush. Amen. Get around where the fire's burning and things are not being consumed. They're set upon them, amen, like as a fire upon each of them, and they were not consumed. But yet our God is a consuming fire. There's things on the inside, the impurities that are being consumed. But when you get in the presence of God, God's going to have a message for you. And that preacher may be going down the road and he may be talking to somebody else and then all of a sudden stop and say, I don't know why I'm fixing to say that. But when you hear a preacher say that, you better sit up on the edge of your pew. You better perk your ears up and pay attention because something is getting ready to take place. Something's getting ready to happen. God is getting ready to say, Moses, Moses. Not talking to all the other sheep, I'm talking to you, Moses. Praise God. Amen. That's why I get excited when I come to the house of God. Amen. Because I realize, amen, that this is the greatest potential that I'm going to experience and have in hearing from the Lord. Woo! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. You may be able to get something off of a cassette somewhere, off of an old CD somewhere, amen, or off of some website somewhere, but you ain't going to get anything, amen, like you can get from the home troughs, amen, going to the house of God, going to your church house, amen, and hearing the preacher at your church house preach to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. You don't ever need to replace your pastor, your preacher, your minister, amen, with a voice on the outside of the church somewhere. Hallelujah. It needs to be, amen, that this is my church. This is my place. This is where I'm going to get my food from. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. And so Moses was standing there, and God had a message for Moses. Amen. At the backside of the desert, right there at the burning bush. And he began to reveal himself unto Moses. And that he said, Moses, he said, first of all, you need to take your shoes off, for the place that you stand is holy ground. And then he began to reveal himself unto Moses. He said, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And I am the God of Jacob. Amen. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. Praise God. Now, a little bit later, he tells the Lord. He said, now, God, you've told me to go to Egypt and to deliver your people. And so when I go there to deliver your people are going to ask, what is your name? And what am I supposed to tell them? And God spoke unto Moses. He said, you tell them, I am that I am. Amen. And they're going to be able to understand that. The Lord, and he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so one more time, he refers to himself as a generational God. The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Amen. Generational God. And then he said, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations, not just your father, not just Abraham, not just Isaac, not just Jacob, but this is for all of the generations. I'm so glad that on the day of Pentecost, amen, when Peter stood up and he began to preach, and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to the next generation and to all of the other generations, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this generation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You need to save yourself. You don't need to ride mama's coattail. You don't need to ride daddy's coattail. You don't need to ride grandma's coattail. You don't need to ride, amen, aunt and uncle's coattail. You don't even need to ride your friend's coattail. You need to get an experience with God for yourself. Amen. That's why God could say, I am the God, amen, of your fathers, because they accepted me and they had a relationship with me. And I'm the God of Abraham because he had time for me and he built altars unto me. And I'm the God of Isaac and I am the God of Jacob. And I remember wrestling with Jacob. I am the God of all of these generations, because everybody stopped somewhere and said, I've got to get a hold of that God. He can't just be Abraham's God. He cannot be just Isaac's God. He cannot be just Jacob's God. He's got to be my God. Oh, let's magnify the Lord today. Praise the Lord. So, we could even take the time to go over to 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse 36 through 39. And the infamous passage of Elijah calling down fire from heaven. And Elijah's prayer was on this wise. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant. Amen. You know, if Elijah is not the servant of God, he's not going to have the same power that he's getting ready to manifest. And I understand it's not Elijah's power, it's God's power, but Elijah's not going to have the power, the ability to pray to get God's attention to pull him down. Because God's just somebody else's God. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know what I'm talking about when you go to the house of God, or when you get down to pray and you feel, amen, just a little bit bigger than a whipped dog, amen, coming into the presence of God because you haven't been there in some time and you haven't talked to Him in some time, and amen, and here it is on Wednesday and you forgot all about Him on Monday and Tuesday, and finally on Wednesday you want to come in and call fire down from heaven, and amen, and you feel like, you know, I really don't deserve, amen, to be able to call fire down from heaven because I really don't have a relationship with Him. I forget about Him on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and here I come in on Sunday and trying to get the victory and trying to press my way through, and amen, and I feel so far away from God. I feel like I'm on the backside of a desert somewhere. I'm here to preach to you tonight. You've got to get a relationship with God for yourself. Amen. Mama's salvation isn't going to save you. Daddy's salvation isn't going to keep you. Grandpa and grandma's salvation isn't going to bring you through the turbulent times. Your aunt and uncle's salvation is not going to keep you in the moment of temptation. But your experience and your relationship with God, amen, will cause you to step out of the boat and to walk on water, because you've got a relationship with the Master. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. There's some of us that are established Christians. Amen. I just say today, I know that I'm third generation Pentecost. Third generation. So that makes my boys fourth generation. Amen. We got fourth generation Pentecostals in here? Sister Works, we got any fifth generation Pentecostals in here? All right, don't see any. No fifth generation Pentecost. Amen. And it's pretty neat to see and to know that the God. Now for me, third generation, it would actually be my great-grandmother. It's not my grandmother. It's my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother took my mother to church. But it's interesting to see and to know that your religion, your experience, your love, your God is, and I have to say it like this, is accepted by your children. Now, I could preach here for a long time. God forbid that your children don't want the God that you serve because of your actions. If you are a flaming hypocrite, don't expect your children to walk in your shoes. But if you manifest a love for God, a true love for God, and there ain't anybody that knows you like your children know you. But if you've got a true love for God, amen, then it's easy for your children to walk in your footsteps. It's easy for Isaac to walk in Abraham's footsteps because he sees daddy building altars here and there and worshiping God. And amen. And he saw that this was not just a part of daddy's time, but this was daddy's God. This was daddy's relationship and daddy's religion. And daddy's religion was real.
And it caused Isaac to follow in the same steps, amen, as his amen, as his dad. And we would see that it would go on down unto Jacob. And from Jacob it would go down unto the 12 tribes of Israel and just continue on down. And thank God that he's a generational God. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to purpose in your life and in your mind and in your experiences, in your actions, that I'm going to live my life in accordance to God's word, to the place that if my children don't want to live for God, it's not my fault.
Now, that's the easy thing. Say, well, it ain't my fault that they don't live for God. Amen. But you can be so overbearing and so, amen, so dominant and judgmental and all that other stuff that you drive them away from you, that they don't want. It's not that they don't want anything to do with your God, but they don't want anything to do with you. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, when they see your love one towards another. Amen. I'm not saying, amen, you know exactly what I'm saying. Amen. There are rules and there are things that are set up with inside of the house and such like that. Amen. But I'll just say it like this. There's one time, amen, I'd just be plain and blunt and honest. Amen. I wasn't sure for sure I wanted my mom's religion. Amen. But you know what? I saw the religion and I saw through all of that. Amen. My mom at the time, God help her and bless her soul stuff, she was a screamer. If she had her mouth open, she was screaming and hollering at us. I mean, but we were rowdy kids too, I guess. And she was screaming one time, and I remember the preacher had said, you know, next time that your parents begin to scream in the house, just say, let the peace of God rule in this house. And so I decided I was going to try that. And I said, let the peace of God rule in this house. My mom said, shut up. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, God's good. God's good. Amen. But you know what? We got to live our life and we got to operate our life, amen, in order to be saved. But there are others that are following after us, and there are little eyes that are looking up unto us, and those little eyes have got to see some consistency. Those little eyes, amen, have got to see respect for the house of God and for the things of God. Don't expect your children to have any respect for the man of God. Amen. If you're at home eating on him all day long for lunch and for dinner and always talking, they're not going to have respect, but you ought to put it inside of them. Amen. Every little thing that you can, amen, to give them a better opportunity of making heaven their home. You want your God to be their God. Amen. Because the first generation is that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Praise God. I know the first generation. I know the first generation. I can see. Amen. The first generation. Praise God. I need to move. We ain't ever going to get to a business meeting. But that first generation, I mean, they are there. They are there. They want to do everything. They got a mind for God. They got a love for God. What can I do? You need me to do something, I want to do it. Amen. Their tithing is like clockwork. I mean, it's there all the time. They got an offering that they're giving unto the Lord. They got special offerings that they give unto the Lord. Their whole lifestyle is God, God, God. I'm so in love with God. But you get to that third generation. You get to that third generation, and that third generation is like, well, I mean, I don't know all about that. I mean, I understand that was mom's way and that was dad's way and stuff, but I don't understand that and stuff. And they get tight. They get tight, and they give just the minimum. They give just the minimum. That's all they give. So let me go. But that first generation loves this message. Loves this message. You can't preach it too hard for them. They love this message.
And I'm not advocating trying to preach somebody out of the church. I think that's, I'll save my words and my opinion. But that's not wise. That's not smart. Amen. Praise God. We'll just say it like that. Amen. But you know what? When the preacher's preaching in the Bible and stuff, that first generation is like, oh, this is so wonderful. This is great. I love this. The first generation loves the message. The second generation lives the message. Lives the message. Or let me say it like this. The second generation likes the message. Woohoo! Yeah, that's pretty good preaching right there. The third generation just lives the message. Why do you always wear dresses to school? Well, that's my religion. Why don't you let your hair grow like all the rest of the guys and put it up in a man bun and all that? Well, this is my religion. Why don't you get a haircut like the rest of us and flop it around and stuff? Well, this is my religion. I can't do that. Why don't you play ball? That's against my religion. Why don't you go to the movies with everybody? Well, that's against my religion. They just live it. That's the third generation. They just live it. This is just my religion. And you get to the fourth generation, and the fourth generation loathes it. I can't stand living this way. I can't stand living this way. Don't you get tired of wearing dresses all the time? I hate it. I wish I didn't have to do it. Why do you have to do it? My mom makes me do it. Preacher makes me do it. They hate it. You know what? You need to let go a little bit and grow your hair out and get suave and get cool and stuff. I can't. Why? My mom won't let me do that. Man. You need to get in with the times and stuff. I can't. I wished I could. I hate living like this. Fourth generation. The first generation would die for this message. They do whatever it takes. They die for the message. We've seen them. Peter and all the other disciples other than John. John's the only one that died of a natural death. Everybody else was martyred. Stephen. They die for this message. They don't care. They died for the message. Second generation just deals with the message. That's just part of life. That's just what we do. Why do you always got to go to church on Wednesday night? I mean, if you didn't go to church on Wednesday night, you could be on the ball team. You know what? That's just what we do. I just like it like this. I just deals with it. The third generation wants to debate it. Well, I don't see why we have to do that anymore. I mean, that was back in the old days, and that was back in the old time and stuff. We don't have to do that anymore. You need to get in with the plan. I'm going to try to be nice. I'll get behind the pulpit. But the movement of Pentecost, in my opinion, is digressing. And the things that we have preached about and preached against for decades and decades is coming in and sweeping over the church. We got to change up. We got to get with the times. We got to do this. We got to do that. Amen. It's not helping at all. Glory to God. Glory to God. You want me to preach or not? That's why professional video in has entered into the church now, and we're rolling with professional videos and zooming in on musicians and all this other stuff. We used to stand against all of that stuff. But today we're told, hey, if you're not videoing your Sunday night church, you're missing the will of God. Who said? Amen. We're going to stand up. We don't have to go with the times. We don't have to go with all of those other ways and all those other things. Amen. Praise God. This isn't up for debate. The message isn't up for debate. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This isn't a production. Amen. I said this isn't a production. Amen. We're not trying, to be like the charismatics and all of that other stuff. Amen. We're going to keep it holy. We're going to keep it right. We're going to do things godly. Amen. We're still going to dress godly, act godly, live godly. Amen. Praise God. Amen, but I want to know, amen, that the fourth generation that's coming up, all that they care to do is destroy everything. They want to pull the oxen out from under the laver of water in the temple. They want to get rid of this and want to get rid of that. And before you know it, it's not going to even resemble, amen, what we had. And when the backslider comes back to church and they look around, they're going to think to themselves, where did my old church go? Amen, we're not in it to debate it. We're not in it to destroy it. Amen. We're going to get a first generation experience. We're going to fall in love with God. We're going to build some altars on our own. We're going to do these things. And we're going to have God as our God.
Oh, let's love Him. Let's love Him. Let's love Him.
Praise God. Hopefully I didn't lose you in all of that. But I just want to point out the slippery slope of digression. Can I just say it like this very, very carefully? Very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. Let me say it like this. In 2019, you wouldn't have seen a video in a church anywhere. COVID came in and it's everywhere. Praise God. Praise God. We've just got to make sure. We just got to make sure. And it's not that we're trying to hold on to, what's the best word to use? Traditions. It's not. It's not that we're trying to hold on to traditions. And there's some things that you can't say. The Bible says thou shalt not. You can't find that. But let me tell you what you've got to do. You've got to be able to step back. And you've got to be able to look. And you've got to be able to foresee the direction that it's going. That's what you've got to be able to foresee. Because at this moment, it doesn't look bad. You know, when I was coming up in church, oh man, the preachers, they just blasted television. I mean, that was the big deal. I mean, they just blasted television. You can't have a television. You're not going to have a television. Get that television out of your house. TV this. TV is of the devil and all that stuff. And this was back when Flipper and Gentle Ben and... I mean, that's the only ones I really remember. That's back when those things were on TV and they were saying like Flipper was so ungodly. A little dolphin. And Gentle Ben, you know, the grizzly bear. And my mind just goes back because I go, what's the name of that restaurant? Boone's Pickens. Yeah. Andy Griffith Show. There's preachers preaching against television because Andy Griffin was on. But you know what? They saw where it was going to go. And thank God they took some stands, even though from a lot of eyes they looked way off. Praise God. Praise God. So we've got to stand and we've got to see and be able to foresee where things are going to go. And we want to make sure that we have the experience with God that we need to have. We've got that first generation experience.
Amen. That we love it and we'll die for it. We're not here to debate it. We're not here to loathe it. We're not here, amen, to hate it. We're not here to destroy it. Amen. I love living this way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, even unto salvation. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Why don't we just love the Lord here today? Let's just love Him. Amen. Let me say just a few more things and I am done. Praise God. Amen. For the promises unto you and to your children. Note the order of that. Make sure you've got things right in your house first and your life first. Your children will follow suit. Amen. And then to all of them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But Scripture makes it plainly clear that there is absolutely no place in our relationship with God for just mere maintenance. There's no place in Scripture that gives us that place. Now, when you reach a certain plateau and you've been in the church for 20 years, then you get to back off. There's no place of that in the Scripture anywhere. Let me read you some Scripture. 1 Peter 2:1-5. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies and all envy speakers, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen. Grow. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. Verse number 18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Ephesians 4:11-15. Let me just skip down to verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Praise God. We need to grow up in Him, not grow old in Him. We need to grow up in Him. You know, there is a difference in having 20 years of experience and then in having the same experience for 20 years. Amen. You can have 20 years of experience, or you can have an experience, the same experience for 20 years. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. It's new. It's fresh. It's fresh all the time. And we need to be committed to that. Committed. Amen. Amen. Listen to me today. The only way that you're not going to backslide is you've got to keep the fire burning. That's your responsibility. I can remind you, but ultimately it's your responsibility. Praise God. I'm going to say something here tonight that may sound a little contradictory to what we believe. But listen to me and hear me out. Preaching alone does not work. I mean, first of all, James said that we ought not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. If preaching alone works, friend, we've heard enough preaching to save the entire world multiple times. So why isn't the world saved? It's because they don't do what they've heard preached. How many times have you ever heard it preached? All of you that's had the Holy Ghost for 20 years, you don't have to worry about this. You just sit there and you don't have to move. You don't have to do. You don't have to come to the altar. You don't have to pray through. You don't even have to be faithful to church. You just come to church once a month and you're okay. Have you ever heard that preached? No. You know why? Because that wouldn't work. But what do you hear preached? You need to be faithful to the house of God. You need to be faithful in prayer. You need to be faithful in reading the word. Amen. You need to get a new experience. That's why, you know, we have altar calls. Whoa, wait a second. You've had the Holy Ghost too long to come to an altar. Well, you don't need to come to an altar. I mean, come on. You've had the Holy Ghost for... Hey, y'all know what? I've had the Holy Ghost today for 32 years. So I've matured in God. I don't have to go back to the altar anymore. No, that's preposterous. That's preposterous. January the 26th of 1990, I got the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many times I've gotten the Holy Ghost since then. I tried to get the Holy Ghost today. You know why? Because though the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. Day by day. You need to get the Holy Ghost again and again and again and again and again. I mean, you can't say, man, I got the Holy Ghost back then. I got the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues, man. I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. I spoke in tongues back then. Praise God, I'm good to go. Well, I tell you what, if you can find that in the Bible, we may talk. But you're not going to find that in the Bible. You know why? Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The only way you're going to have victory over the devil is you got to stay prayed through. You got to stay prayed through. If you don't stay prayed through, you're going to start looking at stuff you don't need to be looking at. You're going to start saying stuff that you don't need to be saying. Start going to places that you don't need to be going. Paul said, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And the problem with a living sacrifice, it keeps getting off the altar. You got to keep putting yourself back on the altar. You got to keep getting me saying, oh God, you know what? It's just me again, Lord. It's me again, Lord. Here I am. I know this ain't going to surprise you, but I'm a mess. But here I am, God. I'm bringing this old flesh down to the altar, and I'm putting it on the altar again, and I'm crucifying this old man again, and I need the Holy Ghost again today, God. That's what a first generation experience is as we stand here tonight. That's what a first generation experience is. Oh, God. Oh, God, don't let us become so mature and so pious in God that we don't have to do those things that we once did. Oh, I remember back when I was a teenager, I used to shout all over that church, but I've grown up and matured in the Lord now. I don't have to do all of that. I was talking to my pastor the other day, and we were just having a good conversation. And he told me some things that I've been watching. I've been seeing. And, you know, back when I was 25, 30 years old, I wouldn't have realized this, wouldn't have known this, wouldn't have understood this, and don't know that I would have cared to understand this. You know, because when you're 25 and 30, you know everything. You got it all figured out, and you don't know why that those old heads don't have it anymore. But you know what? I was down in Aransas Pass, and I was watching my pastor. I was watching Brother Garrett, and they'd come in. They'd sit down on the pew, and they'd go to praying. You know why? Because they can't get down on their knees anymore. They can't. They can't get down. Now, Brother Johnson told me, he said, you know what? He said, my knees would kill me. He said, I can't run any aisles. He said, if you see me running, you better run too, because I'm majorly wrong. But that doesn't stop them. That doesn't stop them. You know why that doesn't stop them? It's because they got a first generational experience. And so they'll sit there in the pew and they'll cry out to God and they'll pray and they'll wipe tears from their face sitting there. But they don't have that mentality of, well, I've been preaching the gospel for over 50 years. I don't have to do all that stuff anymore. But they still know that that's the way you keep it. You got to keep it fresh. You got to keep it fresh. You young people, listen to me today. You got to keep it fresh. You got to pray through on a frequent basis. Praying through on a daily basis would be awesome. But I know that there's some times that we don't do that, and then we say, well, I was supposed to and I didn't, and I just need to make it. I need to pray through on a frequent basis. Mom and Dad's God has got to become your God. So that you don't just say, well, Mama's God or Daddy's God, but you can say, my God. I know Him. I got a relationship with Him. And that goes for every one of us in here tonight. Myself, I can't live my life on my mom's experience, my great-grandmother's experience. Because when the devil comes around trying to show me an easier way, if I don't have an experience with God, I'm not going to make it. And so I've heard another calling from another world. 14, 15 years of age. Come in, drop my backpack off, and my mom heading to the church. Why you always got to go to the church? I didn't have a good excuse. I just want to go to the church. There's a relationship that was building. Relationship. And just because I had a relationship at 14, 15, 16 years of age, that doesn't get me through when I'm 45, 46 years of age. I got to have a relationship with Him today. Today. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what your daddy's name is. You've got to have relationship with God. That's what God was telling Moses. Moses! Moses! Me? Yeah. You, Moses. I'm calling to you. Moses turns aside. In other words, he had direction that he was going. And he stopped and turned aside to go see. There will be those times in your life that you're going to hear God, or you're going to see God. You're going to see something. You're going to feel something. And you need to turn aside. Which just simply means from your normal activities. Well, I've got things to do. I've got places to go. I've got... And God's showing you something. What Moses saw on the backside of that desert kept him. And even though 40 years later he's in the wilderness, and he might be able to look back at a burning bush, I encourage you to take your Bible and to go through and evaluate every time that Moses had words with God. What I'm simply saying is, after the burning bush, it didn't stop. But we see countless times again and again and again and again that Moses is back talking to God. Talking to God. That's where I want to be. I want to make sure that my first generation experience stays fresh and stays alive. As a second generation experience is like, well, you know what? I mean, we didn't have such great church tonight, but you know what? We were at church. First generation is like, oh, we missed it somewhere. Church could have been so much better. It bothers you. It bothers you. It bothers you when you miss church. Second or the third generation, it don't bother them if they miss church. Ah! Sunday's on the way. I'll catch it on Sunday. First generation, that's not good enough. I want to go to church. Got to be at church. Got to be at church. Why do you got to go to church? I got to go to church. I want a first generation experience. Moses, I'm the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I want to be your God. And that's what God's saying today. I'm a generational God, but I still want to be your God. Can you answer that call tonight? Can you answer that call? The altars are open here tonight. Just asking you to be honest and open with God. God, missing it. God, if I look at my experience, I would say that it's a second or a third generation experience. I need to work on that. I need to work on that. I want a first generation experience. You may have been in church for 32 years. You may have been in church for 40 to 52 years. You still need to say, God, I want to work on that first generation experience. God, I've let that experience die. I've let that fire and that passion die. I want to get back around to that first generational experience. I need you all over again. I need you all over again. Oh, let's talk to him today. Jesus' name.